Amen, Father. I pray that you would prepare our hearts this morning. Think of the seed of your word, and you talk about the soil of our hearts. I pray that your Holy Spirit would plow that soil, enabling us to receive in faith what we hear from your word this morning, encouraging the believers in faithfulness and perseverance, and drawing the lost to forgiveness and freedom in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. So today's sermon is about mixed reviews. With our online world, we live in a world where literally everything about our lives could be under review. On Facebook, you got your personal page, and maybe some of you live for the thumbs up and live to avoid the thumbs down. Businesses and churches are on Yelp and Google, and there's the ratings from 1 star to 5 star. And it's tempting, so tempting in our lives to live for the universal thumbs up. But I want to tell you something, that God's people, God's faithful messengers throughout history have always gotten mixed reviews. And that's putting it mildly. I think about a great leader like Joshua, who led the people of Israel into the promised land. And they got in there and he looked at the people and he had that great speech in Joshua 24:15, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." You got the gods of this land, but what? "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You think, boy, a leader that loved God like that, surely his impact had a great response from the whole nation for generations to come. Sadly, what we read in Judges 2:10 is after he passed and his generation, it says, "There arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel." And you know the story in Judges, how they pursued false God after false God. Think about the prophet Jeremiah. You talk about a tough ministry assignment. It makes me not ever want to talk about challenges in ministry. God told him, "You go to the city of Jerusalem and tell them this place is going to be destroyed because of your sin." And God even told him this in Jeremiah 7:27. "You shall speak all these words to them, but they will not listen to you." How would you like that at the outset of your ministry? You're going to speak it, but they're not going to listen. "You shall call to them, but they will not answer you." If there was Yelp in that day, I promise you his reviews on Yelp from those in Jerusalem would have been really bad. Jesus himself promised mixed reviews when we share the seed of the gospel, the good news of salvation and forgiveness in Jesus, that you're a sinner and you need a Savior named Jesus Christ. You remember the parable of the four soils. One seed of the gospel, but there would be four very different responses. The seed that went on the path, that's those who would not understand, and the devil snatched it away. The seed on the rocky soil, those who initially receive it with joy, but because they have no root, when persecution hits, they're out. Or how about those where the seed goes among the weeds? It began to grow, but then it's choked out by wealth and the deceitfulness of this world. But then there was the one good soil where that seed was planted and bore a crop 30, 60, 90 times what was sowed. Same seed, very different responses. Then he experienced it himself, did he not? The ultimate example is what they did to him on the cross. But I think even earlier, John 6, he starts to say those hard words about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And John 6:60 says, "When many of his disciples heard it, they said, 'This is a hard saying, who can listen to it?'" And then John 6:66, interesting reference. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Even Jesus himself got mixed responses, to say the least. So it's very tempting to live for the universal thumbs up. We all want to be liked. Many of us want to be liked by everybody, but I want to encourage you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, do not live for the universal thumbs up, because it's a path to discouragement. On the one hand, it's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. So get rid of that illusion. It's also a path to compromise. It's a path to compromise. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 6:26, "Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." Say, why are you sharing this when we're in the middle of Acts? Well, did you know that even Paul, the missionary extraordinaire and Barnabas, got very mixed reviews and responses? They did. If you imagine that when Paul and Barnabas showed up in a city and they shared the good news of Jesus, like we read last week in Antioch, we'll put that on the map where they were, up in Antioch, and they go to that synagogue and they say, "Hey guys, we want to tell you about forgiveness and freedom that comes through faith in Jesus Christ that Moses' law could never give you." If you think everybody said, "Praise the Lord, I'm in," I want to show you today's passage. The mixed reviews in two cities. First, Antioch. We heard the message last week. But watch the roller coaster of responses with me. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 13, verse 42. The first response we read of is wonderful. It's belief in Christ and salvation among some of the people there. 42, they finished the message. It says, "As they went out from the synagogue that day, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath." Every revival preacher's dream: come back again. We want to hear more. "And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism," that second group would be Gentiles, "what happened? They followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God." There's a group that received it, Jews and Gentiles, and they start following Paul and Barnabas when they leave. And Paul and Barnabas says, "Hey guys, continue walking in this grace. This is great." And then the next Sabbath, to top it all off, they had evidently spread the word. They were so excited. It said almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. Wow, can you imagine if we had a meeting, maybe down at the square of multiple churches, kind of like Hope Fest, but almost everybody in the whole Quad City showed up to hear? Wow. But then right after that, on the heels of it, we move quickly to unbelief and rejection. Watch this, verse 45. "But when the Jews saw the crowds," and most believe along with me, talking primarily about the leaders among them, because some Jews had responded. "When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy." They're looking at the synagogue and saying, "We never get this many people in here when we talk. These guys show up and the whole city comes in the jealousy." "And they began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him." Roller coaster. What's the response of the missionaries, though? Perseverance. It's a word we need in our Christian lives. Perseverance. Look at verse 46. This might surprise you when you first read it. It says, "And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly." Now, when you read that previous verse, they were reviling him. You might expect it to say, Paul and Barnabas went underground and kept things kind of quiet. No. They spoke out boldly, saying it was necessary to the Jewish folks there that the word of God be spoken first to you. "But since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we're turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. That's Isaiah 49:6. Bill chose that in your highlights as the memory verse of the month. Isaiah 49:6. But there's a phrase in there that jumps out at me. When he looked at them and says, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Wow, it makes me think about something Simeon said about Jesus when he was a baby and Mary and Joseph took him in the city. And he said, the hearts of many will be revealed. There will be the rising and falling of many. And you judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. That's deep, because when we evaluate the gospel and choose to reject it, we think we're making a statement about Jesus and the gospel. But ultimately, it boomerangs on ourselves if we choose to reject it. You judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. And back to belief in salvation. This roller coaster keeps going. Watch, verse 48. When the Gentiles heard this, that, hey, the good news of forgiveness is coming to us. We don't have to be converted to Judaism. We don't have to be circumcised. It's coming through Jesus. They began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. You talk about some low lows and some high highs, right? But before we can even catch our breath, it's right back to unbelief and rejection. Verse 50, but the Jews incited the devout women of high standing. Historians tell us a lot of Gentile women were attracted to Judaism at this time because Gentile morals in the sexual world were awful, and women took the brunt of it. So they saw the purity and the ethics of Judaism, and they were drawn to that. And they had an ear with the leading men of the city. They talked to them and they stirred up the persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. The Jews there that wanted them out knew how to use their influence to get what they wanted. We see that in our world today with dark money in our country and all sorts of things. I'm not going there. But we see how groups push their will through the leaders, groups of all kinds. They got the leaders and drove them out of their city. Response? Do they give up on the mission trip? Nope. Again, we see perseverance. They shook off the dust from their feet against them. Jesus had told them to do that when they were rejected, and they went 90 miles away to Iconium. You think the distance between here and Phoenix, they travel there. And the disciples, listen to this, were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. How is that possible after what had just happened? It's not possible if they had been basing their happiness on, hey, I want everybody to like me and to respond, right? They'd be leaving with their tail between their legs, but they knew what? They had fulfilled what the Lord had told them to do. They were walking in the power of the Spirit, and for them, that was enough. There was joy for those who did respond. Now I want to show you in Iconium. Same roller coaster. Same roller coaster. Belief in salvation first. Now at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. Again, praise God. Look at this. They're coming. It's a Billy Graham crusade. They're walking down the aisle. Look at this. Praise God. Verse 2, unbelief and rejection. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. The response? You can probably guess it. Rejection. Perseverance. Thank you, John. Those front row people are always awake. So they remained for a long time. Odd response, right? Humanly speaking, conflict arises and you say, okay, we're going to remain for a long time. Wow. Speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. A lot of times we see opposition, it's a closed door. But sometimes I want to tell you something. When we see opposition, that means the enemy hates what God's doing. Amen. And we need to hunker down in prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit and keep on keeping on. Now, there are other times where you'll see Paul and Barnabas leave when things heat up. I believe they followed the Spirit in each unique circumstance. But you talk about mixed reviews. Verse 4 says it as well as anything. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, and some with the apostles. Mixed reviews, and then back to the unbelief and rejection. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and to stone them, I may have said this would never happen at a city where there was a Roman garrison, but they're kind of out in the wild here. Rome doesn't have as much authority, and it's kind of the Wild West. This mob starts forming. They learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country. And what? They
persevered.
Look at verse 7. There they continued to preach the gospel. You see the roller coaster. You see the response of perseverance. You can guess the thrust of my message today for the believer sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Expect mixed reviews and good. John, you're catching on. How in the world did they remain faithful with those low spots? The Holy Spirit, they were full of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you something, Paul tells us in Galatians, which many believe was written to people in this very area he's at, Galatians 1:10, he says, am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. You understand what he's saying there? I'm not looking to people for their approval. I'm looking to a higher, much higher audience when it comes to who I aim to please. That's why they could have joy even when half the city hates their guts. They knew they were walking faithfully for the Lord. And as we apply this to our lives today, I'm aware there are at least three groups of people in this room. Probably more, but I'm going to talk about three. First, there's a group of people in here who perhaps have not received Jesus Christ as their Savior. You've heard many times of the forgiveness and freedom that comes through the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but you've never put your faith in Him. You're in that group of people right now, Acts 13:46, where He said, you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. My invitation to you this morning is come out of that group. Having heard of the salvation in Jesus Christ, maybe asking the same question that the jailer in Acts 16 would ask, what must I do to be saved? What would they tell him in verse 31? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. There's some here this morning that may need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You haven't, but today's the day. The second of our three groups, there is a group of Christians that need the fire to go out and be a witness reignited. Some of us need a fire lit under us. We've gotten comfortable with coming to church and going home. And the connection between what we see in God's Word and our daily life is nil. We've forgotten we're called to be witnesses to the lost. I think about that group, and I think about what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:14. We urge you, brothers, admonish the idle. Come on now, get going. Am I praying for the lost? Am I sharing the gospel verbally and in how I live? If you're hearing that, believer, and say, man, I've got distracted, I want to encourage you with something I heard from a lady who attends here. Her adult daughter has a myriad of ongoing issues. In the middle of that, she also has a husband that doesn't yet know the Lord. And she said it hit her one day that it's not just what I say, but it's how I respond in the middle of all these trials that plays into my witness. And in light of that, she said, this is my prayer every morning. She said, I ask God how He might use me today and how I can live as a good witness. What if we started off every morning like that? God, how do you want to use me today? And how can I live as a good witness? And have that mindset that when the trials come, hey, there's people watching. Some of us need the fire reignited. Some of you believers are faithful witnesses. You're faithful to share the gospel. You're faithful to disciple other believers. But this morning, you're tired. You're burning out. You don't know how you're going to go another step. You need reinforced. Some of you need reinforced this morning. You need encouraged. That same verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:14 where he says, admonish the idle. You know what it says next? Encourage the faint-hearted. Amen. Are you faint-hearted this morning? I want you to hear God's heart. It's that you be encouraged. Help the weak. You feeling weak in that journey? The Holy Spirit wants to empower you and encourage you. You've been sharing. You've been telling others the truth, and you're discouraged right now because of the mixed reviews. Do you ever get there? The mixed responses? I get mixed responses. I've been called all kinds of things to my face online. And some things I need to hear and grow and change from. I've had to say sorry to some people, and I've had to change my ways like we all do. But some of it, after taking it to the Lord, honestly, I believe is just uncalled for. I'll give you the extreme example. One time as we were confronting some New Age teaching within the church, I found out through the grapevine that someone had a nickname for me. They called me Beelzebub. Beelzebub. Yeah. And I thought about Matthew 10:25, where Jesus said, it's enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? What's he saying? Expect it. That's how they treated me. And I was talking with somebody about that last week, and they told me about another church in Arizona, not a cult, because listen, there are cults. If you add books to the Bible and change who Jesus is, you're a cult. Amen. This is not one of those. This was a faithful, Bible-believing church, but some folks from another denomination had called them a cult, and I heard about this, and I said, I would love to have coffee with that pastor. Can you imagine the Facebook post? Beelzebub and the cult leader have coffee. Woohoo! We have some great fellowship. Why do I share that? Do I share that for your pity? No, though I do appreciate your prayers. I share that for your awareness, because that's not just for me. Yeah. as you're faithful and you're witness for Jesus Christ, it will happen to you. Expect it. Expect it. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you also.
Amen.
I've never seen that on a t-shirt. But that's what he said. Be faithful to pray for the lost. Keep it up. Be faithful to share. And I want to tell you this. Sometimes we get discouraged because we think we're defined by results. We think we're defined by whether they respond or not. If it's an unsaved person we love and they don't get saved, we take that on. We carry guilt that we shouldn't carry. If we share truth with another believer and they reject it, we take that on, that guilt. We think we're defined by the results, but some of you who are discouraged this morning and you're believers in Jesus Christ, you need to understand what Ephesians 1:6 says. You are not accepted with God because of your good works or your results. You're accepted, Ephesians 1:6, in the beloved. Who's the beloved? Jesus Christ. That's who you are, believer. When the Lord looks at you, he looks through the lens of his Son, whom he loves, and with whom he is well pleased. You're accepted in the beloved. Do not carry the weight of others' responses. That is between them and God. It's like as God told Ezekiel, the prophet, in Ezekiel 33, verse 7, Son of man, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. What's he saying? What I tell you, you pass on to them. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. What's he saying? He's saying, I am holding you responsible to pass on what I've told you. But he goes on, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. He says, I'm holding you accountable to share the message. I'm not holding you accountable for how they respond. Some of us need to stop carrying that second part. That is in the Lord's department with that person, okay? I'm not saying it doesn't weigh on us. I'm just saying there are some burdens we have to roll on to the Lord. Psalm 55:22, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. For he will never permit the righteous to be moved. Mom, you're praying for that son to come to the Lord. You're praying for your friend who's gone astray to come to the Lord. Be a faithful witness. Pray, but cast that burden on the Lord. Because he cares for you. There are battles that will only be won through prayer. You've shared and shared. The door's been closed. Don't stop praying. Great power in the battle in prayer. There was a physical example of this in World War II. I learned about a city in Italy named Salerno. The British were to set up camp on the good side in 1943, but the Germans were hot on their tail, and it wasn't looking good for the British. I want to read you the words of a Christian in that area while this conflict was building. He said, the Lord has burdened me about Salerno. Our men are in great difficulties. He got a group, and it says, the awe of God settled on us, and before long we were on our knees crying to God for him to intervene. Then the Spirit took hold of us, and so it suddenly broke through our prayers, and we found ourselves praising and rejoicing. We rose from our knees and began to sing praises, believing that God had wrought some miraculous intervention. He said, the moment was so outstanding, I looked at the clock. It was 11 p.m. The newspaper the next day. Listen to this article. The headline was "The Miracle of Salerno." The article read, "The enemy artillery was advancing rapidly with ceaseless firing. The noise was terrible, and it was obvious that unless a miracle happened, our troops could never hold the advance long enough to establish the beachhead. Suddenly, for no accountable reason," I like that, "the firing ceased, and the Nazi artillery stopped its advance. A deathly stillness settled on the scene. We waited in breathless anticipation, but nothing happened. The article closes. I looked at my watch. It was 11 o'clock. The power of prayer. Don't underestimate it when you talk to the God of the universe. It's true in that physical battle. It's true in spiritual battles as well. You're praying for that lost loved one, that person wandering astray. Don't quit. Don't quit. I don't know what you think about when I meet with people and share truth with them. If you imagine that the angels always come down and there's this bright glow and right there they always respond and get saved or say, "Yes, praise God, I'm going to obey." Any of you think that always happens when I meet with somebody? We ought to talk more. I had one of those hard meetings recently. Friend I love and care about. He wanted to talk, and he confessed to me that he was struggling with an ongoing sin. It had its claws in him, and he was frank with me. He said, "This afternoon I plan to go partake in this sin." He said that to my face, and we talked and prayed for half an hour, back and forth, and he was still at that place where I'm not going to lie to you, I'm going to go partake in that sin. I said, "There's another path this afternoon. How's about you hop in my van? And we choose another course. We'll go spend the afternoon together." Silence. No. That went on for 15 minutes. I got the final no and said, "Okay, this is maybe where I got a little psycho pastor." I said, "Okay, I'm going to follow you then." And I almost did. I almost did, but he kept saying, "Please don't, please don't." And that's when it hit me, "Scott, you're crossing into God's territory." Yeah. This is an adult. You put the offer out there. It's time to leave it in my hands. That was one of the hardest departures I've ever had. But we kept on praying. Kept on praying. I got a call a few days later from that same friend. He said, "Today I made the break. This is the first day in forever I haven't partaken in that sin. I decided what I couldn't do, God did." You've been there with someone. Don't stop praying. Don't give up. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Whatever the case, believer, expect mixed reviews. Get rid of the illusion. Expect it. And persevere in the power of the Holy Spirit, like Paul, who said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." And I want to close by saying, if our brothers and sisters in Nigeria and Congo can persevere in the power of the Holy Spirit, so can you, and so can I. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you that your word doesn't sugarcoat this. It's not reading like an ad, like you accept Jesus and it's all going to be peaches and cream and everybody's going to love you. And every time you share truth, there's going to be a revival breaks out. Your word is honest. Thank you for that. I thank you that some will come. Some will be saved. We pray that we'd be a part of that, Lord. I pray that if there's anyone here who heard of forgiveness and freedom in Christ and has not received Him, that you'd bring them to that point where they open the arms of faith and say, I receive you, Jesus Christ, as my Savior, as my Lord. I pray for those in the body who need the fire lit again. Maybe that reminder that, yeah, I'm a part of that mission too. Help us begin to pray those prayers in the morning that put us in that place where we're expectant for the opportunities and ready to be faithful. And I pray for the faithful witnesses in the room who came in broken, tired, discouraged. They look at their ministry, their witnessing, their prayers, and it's been a tough stretch. In the Holy Spirit, may you give them the perseverance of Paul and Barnabas today and that deep assurance that we are loved in the Beloved. And it's out of that abiding relationship that all good fruit will come. Encourage them as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.